Better and Longer with The Fitness Show, hosted by fitness expert, author, and TV personality, Fitz Kohler. She'll tell you why diets are dumb, supplements are snake oil, and the truth about how you can earn a lean, hard, pain-free, and athletic body. Now for our favorite bossy blonde, Fitz Kohler.
Hi team, I'm Fitz Kohler, your fitness expert from fitness.com, and welcome to The Fitness Show. We've got a lot to talk about today, and I want you to know that my duck, Handy, is right here with me for this recording, so you may hear her quack. She just got done swimming, and now she's sitting in my dog's retired dog bed helping me. She's an excellent source of inspiration for motivational words. Right, Handy? Right, Handy, you give a quack for everybody? No, not yet. Anyways, she will quack at some point, and it will be fabulous. The end. So, start off, I want to talk a little about the events I've been to recently. I ended up kind of last minute hosting the Best Damn Race Savannah. It's part of the Best Damn Race series, and what a great name for a race series, right? Why did just put it out there? And I'm really glad they invited me to host for them. The owner, Nick, is a great guy, and he has a pretty significant event calendar throughout the Southeast United States, mostly in Florida. I think he's based in Fort Myers. I could be wrong. I think it's Fort Myers. Anywho, he does a fantastic job. And once I was hired to host this event, I published it and I instantly got feedback from some of my favorite runners. Lori Weiner reached out and said, I just did this race and it was awesome. And they focus on the runner happiness and they focus on the finish line festival and they want everyone to feel like a VIP. So they don't have a VIP section. They just make sure everybody gets unlimited stuff at the end of the race. In fact, pre-race, I was telling the half marathoners and the 5K athletes that, you know, what you have to look forward to post-race. And I said, you have unlimited pizza and unlimited donuts and unlimited beer and unlimited Tito's handmade vodka. And then I thought, oh gosh, please don't go unlimited on the vodka. But everybody had a great time. In fact, some of the highlights of this race are not only being back in Savannah, which I love, but my daughter came with me and one of her best friends, Emma, and they were so cute. And it's interesting because Ginger, that's my daughter, just turned 16 and she's spectacular. But she will say things like, I don't like running or I can't run. She's one of those. However, when I bring her along on a race weekend, she will do the 5K. And of course, there's no pressure for her to go any particular pace. And she prefers to walk, which is just fine because whether you walk it or run it, it's still 3.1 miles. And that's a fantastic morning of exercise for my little girl. But Emma, who's an elite soccer player, she's a very talented goalie who will likely go play in college. She'd never done a 5K before. So it was just it was so nice. We had the girls' weekend. We drove to Savannah and they were super cute and chatty in the car. Had a great dinner out. And I assume this is what the runners were doing. You know, they go to dinner, they show up, they go to the expo, then they go out and enjoy a night in Savannah. And then I took them in the morning to the race. They had to get there a little early because I'm there a little early. But they started the race together and I kicked off the half marathon. And then we had a 15-minute later start for the 5K. And while I was chatting with the crowd, I mentioned my daughter is here, Ginger, with her best friend. And as I say that, Ginger starts leaping up into the air with her arms up. And she's smack dab in the center of all the runners. There's maybe 1,000 or so. And she's jumping up and down like a lunatic. So I go, yep, right there. That's my fruitcake daughter. And people were just dying laughing. She is so funny. She has no ego, no, it's not that she has no pride, but she's just all about having fun, and it's so fun to have her around. So anyways, introduced Emma. Emma was very cute, waving to the crowd, but absolute delight to have her there. They took off together, and then while Ginger wanted to walk, Emma decided she wanted to run, so she came in first, and about 10 minutes later, Ginger came through the finish line, and the best smile you ever want to see. And of course, she's my kid, but that's what I wish for everybody. I wish everybody had the racing attitude Ginger does. If you're going to be elite and fast and run hard, that's great too. I'm obviously, I think that's wonderful for your elite fitness, but the joy she brings to it and her lack of concern for what other people think is something I wish I could bottle and sprinkle over all the runners, because it really made for an enjoyable experience for her and everybody around her, and especially for me. Boy, she comes through the finish line the proper way, just beaming with her hands up high and laughing, and it's a lot of fun to have her there. But yeah, I had girls weekend, and then we went out for fun lunch, and on the way home to Florida, we blasted all sorts of fun music and sang really loud, and they made me feel 16 again. So hooray for Best Damn Race as well. I had my group of losers from not Team Run Disney, Dave Thompson, Vanessa Medlock, Steve Fiorilli, and Lisa King, and they were super fun to have through, to have join us. And, you know, they're the kind of people who want to be called losers. So take that and do what you want with it, but they're fun. And they show up to have a good time and to be fit, and they certainly are a group that has turned racing into their lifestyle, and they don't have any pressure to be the fastest because they're not, but some days they're faster than themselves, and that's good enough. But I do enjoy calling them losers at the start and finish line. It's something not everybody understands, but it makes me feel good, and I think they like it too. One of the other cool things I've done recently is I went to the Running USA conference in Puerto Rico, and that conference is for people who put on races. So from teeny tiny local 5K to trail races to Boston Marathon, New York, Chicago, LA, Big Sur, all the big dogs. It's a wonderful gathering of people who, you know, do their best to make runners happy, runners and walkers happy every year in and day in and day out. And I was able to lead a few race camps, which I really enjoyed. And, you know, one of the things that I appreciate and appreciated specifically while I was there is a race camp is less of me teaching like I normally do. Normally when I'm in front of the room, I'm teaching something. But in this capacity, I was more of a moderator. And my topic that I was leading was trends in racing. So it was basically inspiring conversation and getting the race organizers to share their practices, what is and isn't working for them. But as we were going through these race camps, I looked around the room and it was pretty impressive. The, you know, I have a huge amount of respect for people who put on these events. And it's something that it's just hard to describe for people not able to experience it or see it firsthand. But the amount of intelligence and talent and vigor it takes to not only conceptualize an event, but get the course designed, layout certified, get city roads closed, hire the law enforcement, the medics, get hundreds or thousands of volunteers, market the whole thing. I mean, it's just endless amount of work. And some of these people do it so very well. So, you know, as I was moderating and I had a quiet time and one of the race organizers were chatting, I really did look around the room and think, wow, I'm surrounded by very talented, extraordinary people. And yeah, it felt good. I love being a part of it. The conference was fun. I can tell you that race people are party people. I'm a little bit on the nerdy side. So as you know, I don't drink too much. I probably have about 6 glasses of something throughout an entire year. And I normally only finish about half of each glass. But wow, we were up pretty late at bars and restaurants. And you know, it was a very, very good time. And the president of Gooder, the glasses, showed up for a presentation, and he was a really dynamic speaker. One of the things that I very much value as a speaker is being in the audience with someone who can engage the room, who speaks with clarity, someone who's concise, someone who's entertaining while compelling at the same time. And this guy was, his name is Steven, and he basically told the story of how he created Gooder and what their listen, I'm talking about how concise he is, and I'm not being very concise right now. But he talked about their philosophy and how they create their products and how they design their products and how they name their products. And what I love most is how they have a kind of fun attitude and a can-do attitude, and they don't let much get in their way, and they're not big on excuses. And at the beginning of his presentation, he said, "I'll need 3 volunteers." And before I knew it, my hand was up in the air. And all I was thinking is, please God, don't make me dance in front of these people. Not that I can't dance, but I guess at the moment I didn't want to dance. So I have my hand up and he chooses me. And it was me and 2 other attendees. And he had these paper pads, big pads set up with markers. And he asked us each to draw a picture of a pirate fighting an octopus. And with no purpose given, we just had to create these masterpieces. Obviously, mine was incredible, and my pirate lost to the octopus because the octopus was Fitz Octopus. The octopus had long blonde hair and a name tag, and the octopus had a microphone, and it was sticking one of its tentacles right into the pirate's face, and the pirate was bleeding. Anyways, it was very, very exciting to be the artist at that time. So we finish our pictures. He says, "Go sit down." And we do. And at the end, he said, "Where are my volunteers?" We put up our hand. He said, "Y'all just won the golden ticket, good for 24 pair of gooder." So, wow, that was a nice present. So, of course, instantly they all got claimed. Everybody leaned in and said, "Fitz, I want you to give me a pair." And so they're gone. I'll maybe have one pair for me, but by the time I let my kids choose, they're gone. But you know what? It's nice to be able to say, "Sure, I can give you something nice." The gooder guy said, "What are you going to do with these things?" I said, "I guess be generous." And so lots of people are walking away with a pair of gooder thanks to this guy and my beautiful masterpiece. So fun for me. But Running USA was great. And know that the people of the race industry are working hard constantly to make things better for you and keep you involved in coming back. So I enjoyed that. And now on to some of the fitness stuff I want to talk about. We went through the events, and there's more events I'm going to talk about. I'm getting Rudy Novotny back on the phone because we're going to talk about Carlsbad Marathon and Disney Princess. But before we get there, I want to talk about you guys and your fitness. There's so many people doing so great, and then there's some people who need a kick in the can as usual. So first topic, Robert Schultz. He's one of my hotties. He's a fantastic endurance athlete. Overall, he's a guy who's lost a ton of weight, and now he runs half marathons easily. He does fulls. I don't know how easy they are, but he does them. He does triathlons. But every single day, he's posting from the gym or from the road or from a lake. He's always running by alligators. Yay, Robert, because he's a Floridian as well. And Robert also poses in very exciting ways with very exciting faces. So he's someone to follow. But Robert had a very poignant post in our Hottie Body Fitness Challenge group on Facebook. If you're not already involved, you're more than welcome to join, and I can help steer you very specifically towards your fitness goals. But he said, you know, he deals with his stress by getting out and going for a run or going for a swim, and that really is the solution for those who are struggling with their eating habits. And that couldn't be more true. I too, you know, I used to be overweight. I think a lot of you know that. If you don't, go back and listen to episode 1 of the Fitness Show and you'll hear all about it. But when I get stressed, which is not very often, I become a caged lion. I become uncontrollable physically until I get some motion in me. So something goes down, something that hurts my heart or makes me feel bad, I have to go straight to the gym or straight outside. I have to move. And I don't know if that was a habit that came innately. I don't know if that's a habit or a feeling I had at 13. But by the time I started attending the gym and working at a gym, I remember I was about 18, 19, and my grandmother was just admitted to hospice. And I had to go to the gym. I had to get on the elliptical. I remember getting on the elliptical and going so hard, but that was what I needed at the time. And so since then, all I can remember was hitting stuff. You know, I became a kickboxer, and 9/11, that first tower dropped, I went straight to the gym and I was on the heavy bag. Within 10 minutes, I was on the heavy bag. And it's the outlet I required. And I still will go running. I'll go lift weights. Strength training is something that keeps me sane. So you have to make that choice. I was listening to, Dr. Laura on Sirius XM the other day, and some guy called and he was saying, you know, help me because I'm a stress eater. And he kept making these excuses why it was justified. And the moral of the story is if you choose to be a stress eater, expect to be an overweight person. If that's how you want to do it and you think it's working for you, well, great. But you're only satisfying yourself. You're only making yourself feel good for that, you know, 5 to 20 minute span where you're actually eating. And then for the rest of the day, the rest of the week, the rest of the month and year, because you've overeaten, you're going to feel horrible. So that's not really a solution that's working for you. It may resolve some issues or some feelings for the moment, but stress eating isn't solving your problems. In fact, it's adding more stress to your life because you're going to end up in a body that you don't feel good about. So what are the other solutions or choices you can make when you're stressed out? Can you go running? Sure. Can you strength train? Can you do karate? Can you do yoga, swimming? Do some jazz hands in your living room? Shake around the couch with jazz hands? I don't care what you do, but there's another option for you. And I think it's absolutely lame and pathetic and foolish for someone to consider continue making the excuse, well, I'm stressed. That's why I eat. No, you're an excuse maker. That's why you overeat. We all deal with stress. You know what? Getting up in the morning when to the alarm, that's a stressful thing to do. Knowing I have to make 2 lunches, drive 2 kids to school. And before I do that, I have to get myself dressed, showered. I got to get my duck out. I got to give her a swim. I got to love on my dog. I got to gather my computer, plan my day. That's stressful. It instantly, almost every day of my life starts off with some stress. And do I need to dive headfirst into a pizza because of that? Absolutely not. I choose to be a functioning grown-up who can take responsibility for her obligations. So you know what? I set the alarm 20 minutes earlier so the mornings don't feel so panicked. I set them earlier. I set out my gym clothes so I can dive right into them when I get out of the shower. And you know what? That's an easy outfit to get into. If you're stressed, nothing's more simple to put on than exercise clothes. So I anticipate and I prepare for stress. So we're all dealing with stress. What to choose for lunch? We have to deal with a client, a customer, our boss. Those things are stressful. We have a spouse or a partner that's doing something stupid. Every single day, that spouse or partner of yours is going to do something you think is stupid, and you're going to have to deal with it. Maybe it's just a roommate. Maybe it's one of your children. Maybe it's one of your neighbors, but we all have someone doing something stupid in our life every single day. And so if you choose to drive to the fast food place and buy some French fries and onion rings and a shake because you're stressed, well, that's stupid. Excuse my brutal honesty, but that's just stupid, right? You have to be able to choose better for yourself. And if you're not going to choose exercise instead of eating, fine. Choose something else. Read a book. Take a nap. Play a video game. Organize your closets. I don't care what you do. Go for a drive. But stress eating is absolutely foolish. It's going to set you back many steps. And you're too good for this. And the reason I know you're too good for this is because you're listening to me. And again, absolutely nobody listens to Fitz Kohler who's not trying to do better physically because you wouldn't tolerate me, right? You just would say, shut up, you bossy blonde. I'm sick of hearing from you. But deep down inside, you want to hear this because you want to get better and you want to stop sabotaging yourself. So stress eating, it's got to go. You got to get rid of it now. It's got to be a non-option for you. It's almost like if you said, well, I like to kill kitty cats when I'm stressed. Well, that's a non-option. I don't care if you like to do it. It's a non-option. We don't do those things. And we don't dive into our cabinets and stuff our faces because someone's being jerk or we have a bunch of things to do. So I don't even care if your favorite person in the world is on death's door. That is not an excuse to stuff your face recklessly. Got it? There are no valid excuses for stress eating. And now, moving on to that, or on the same type of subject, I see a lot of you buckling under very little pressure. I have friends who've lost homes this year, burned in fires. I have friends who've lost spouses and children this year to disease. I have friends who've lost their children in car accidents. They're strong people still pursuing life. They're putting on their big girl panties and their big boy underpants every day, and they are trudging on. Yet some of you, when you get a cold, it's crippling. Oh, I haven't exercised in 3 weeks. I've had a cold. Oh, we're going to go to the ER because I twisted my ankle. Get a grip. Y'all need to put on the big girl, big boy pants and be tougher than you are. So many people just buckling under pathetically weak circumstances. Okay? And I love you. And I tell you this because I love you. And if you think I'm targeting you, you're wrong, because I've seen it in dozens of places by dozens of people. But come on. You're really crippled from a cold? Fine, I get it if you're not going to exercise for a week or two because you're not feeling good. Whatever. A week or two isn't going to make a huge difference in your life, especially if you're watching what you put in your mouth. And your exact formula for weight loss, that caloric budget, stands. It stands every single day of the year, whether you have the flu or whether you have bronchitis or whether you sprained your ankle or whether you're on your period. All of the above, all of those days are included with your formula. So what I don't think is awesome is you go, well, I had my ankle twisted for 3 weeks, but I stuck with my formula. It's not but. You just stick with your formula. This is who you are, and this is the caloric budget you have for the rest of your life, no matter what's going on. So you can tell me that, and I'll say good job, but in reality, you're patting yourself on the back for doing something as, I don't know, simple as brushing your teeth, because that's what your formula should be. It should be as simple and as regular as brushing your teeth every day. And I don't know if you go to the dentist and be like, hey, just want to let you know, I had a cold, but I brushed my teeth for 2 weeks. All 2 weeks, I brush my teeth every day, even with a cold. So if you're going to say, like, I had a cold for 2 weeks, but I stuck with my formula, aren't I impressive? Well, sure. But I expect you to stick with that formula every single day of the year. And I expect it even if you're in the hospital. And I see a lot of people in the ER 12 times a year. Really? The ER 12 times a year? I think sometimes folks are, you know, still hanging on to their weaknesses. If you hide behind a hospital gown and post a picture of you wearing it on social media, then maybe people won't expect great things out of you. So, of course, if you need to be at the hospital, if you've been hit by a car or you snapped your femur at work, go to the hospital. I'm not telling you not to go to the hospital, but I do see a lot of people hiding behind minor health issues. And, of course, we want you to see medical attention, but I do see it as a, well, if people see me at the hospital, they won't expect great things out of me. And am I your psychologist? No. Am I a very observant professional who's been in this field for decades on end dealing with the human nature? Absolutely, I am. So once again, be strong. Find a way to be tough stuff. You are the Chuck Norris of your family. Got it? You start acting like a pansy and expecting the world to pity you, look in the mirror and put on your Chuck Norris hat and your fake mustache and poke yourself in the chest and tell yourself to suck it up, soldier. You're better than this. You are tough and you are strong and you're not going to buckle this time. If your house is not burning down, if you don't have someone at death's door, things aren't so bad. All right, get the rest you need if you're sick or injured and move on with your day. But I don't want to see people buckling under very, very small problems, right? Are we stronger than that? We are. And am I a bully? Maybe. But I'm a bully because I love you. And I want to see better. I want to see you do better and be better. And you know what? I have a project that I'm working on, and we've invited some people to be interviewed to discuss their fitness and so forth. And one of the things they keep reiterating is to my interns, they keep saying, I love Fitz because she's brutally honest. So if you're one of those people who doesn't love my brutal honesty, I'm sorry. But you know who you are. And you know I love you. And you know I'm right. You know I'm right. You're strong. I want you to identify as strong and act strong. And the last thing you want from anybody on the planet is pity. Yuck. I tell you what, everybody in my world could fall off a bridge and my house could burn down, and the last thing I want is your concern for me. I just don't want it. It makes me feel bad. It doesn't make me feel good. I want people to be around me because they think I make them happy. And if someone were around throwing a pity party for me, I probably would throw myself off the bridge. I just don't like it. I don't want it. And I want you to become a little more like that too, because again, I've seen a lot of people buckle under very, very small amounts of pressure, and I know you can do better. So moving on. Yesterday, I was in the gym, and I go to a women's gym, but that's really, well, I go to three different gyms, two co-ed, one women's. They're all underneath the same company head. However, I was in the locker room, which at all gyms are only for women, but this is the great thing about the gym. And I think fitness is the tremendous, is the biggest equalizer out of us all, because, you know, we got to all put in the work. We got to all lift the weights. It's challenging for us. Doesn't matter if you're lifting more, lifting less, as long as you're working hard, everyone's working hard, or y'all get equal credit. But I walk in at the gym, and on the left side of me is a woman fully dressed, and she's got the hijab on, the headdress. And then on the right is a woman stark naked with her booty sticking out. She has some sort of tube top, but it's only surrounding her belly. I couldn't understand that. But anyways, it was perfect, because the most conservative culture woman and the most like super comfortable woman in her skin were both surrounding me, and we all belonged there. And I just thought, yay, I've got a hijab to my left and a booty on my right. And it was awesome. So yay, fitness, right? Look around when you're working out or when you're at a race. Take it in. I love the variety of people. And it's interesting because so many people say, well, I'm not that type of person. I won't fit in. Maybe they don't feel like they'll fit in the gym, or they won't fit in at a race or at the pool, whatever it is. But if you look around, we all fit in. There is not one particular type of person. And I just thought, this was it. I got the burka and the booty, and I loved it. And both of those women were fabulous. So next thing I want to tell you about is, I just want to talk a little about pistachios and nuts in general. People ask me a lot, what are great sources of quality protein? So we got our lean meats. You can find protein in dairy products, lean dairy products, hopefully. You can find them in beans and nuts, legumes. There's a variety of places you can get protein. But I use a lot of nuts, and I've been buying pistachios a bunch. Now, pistachios are a little more expensive of a nut, but whatever, it's worth it to me. Because if I were buying a steak, which I don't eat, that would also be very expensive. So I can get high quality protein from my semi-pricey nuts. But this is what I like about pistachios, is I can grab 15, throw them in a Ziploc bag, and between leaving my house and getting to the gym, because they're shelled, I buy the shelled kind. It kind of takes me time. You know, there's a process of opening the shell. I, in fact, put the whole shelled pistachio in my mouth. I like the taste of the salty shell. I break it open with my teeth or my fingers, and then I eat the nut. But it takes me 10, 15 minutes to eat all 15 pistachios. And by the time I've gotten there, because I put in this time, I'm actually full. Not, stuffed, because that's ridiculous. But I can get a great amount of satisfaction and a lengthy time of enjoyment eating a food because of these shells. If I had bought unshelled pistachios, I could easily just throw 15 in my mouth at a time. I'd be downing a huge amount of calories very quickly, and the satisfaction would only last a little bit of time. So if you're a nut person, try to get shelled nuts and lean on them for protein. It's such a smart thing for me. I remember my mom used to buy the red pistachios for Thanksgiving every year. Did you guys have that? And I believe, I looked it up recently, and I believe they came from Iran. That was the main producer of pistachios. And they would show up looking damaged. The shells, the nuts had some flaws on them. So they dyed them red to cover up the flaws. And that's why we all ate red pistachios for a while. Now, I believe the place they grow in the U.S. is California. I could be butchering this because it's been a few weeks since I read the little blurb on why pistachios are dyed red. But eventually, once America became a greater producer of pistachios, they stopped dyeing the nut. But that was really fun. I remember looking forward to it, and we would just eat sleeves and sleeves of pistachios, which is probably why one of the reasons why I was a chubby kid, because I ate without boundary. I just ate totally without thought or boundary for so long. But now I can grab 15 pistachios and really enjoy them and get that quality protein and that feeling of satisfaction. So if you're a nut eater, try buying shelled nuts and see if that goes a little further for you. Next thing is, yesterday I was watching Say Yes to the Dress with my daughter on TLC. And you know the show where women go in and they're shopping for a wedding gown. And there was one feature with a young woman, maybe she was 25, pretty brunette girl, and her mom. And the mom kept saying, "You can't wear a strapless gown because your arms are chubby." And there was some sort of comment about, I guess the daughter, she didn't want to wear sleeves. That was not her dream for her wedding gown, but her mom was paying for it. And boy, this young woman was so patient and kind to her mother. And the mother, my God, just wouldn't let up. And first of all, the mother wasn't perfect. That's what my daughter said. She's like, "Who is that woman to trash her little girl when she's not even walking the walk of fitness?" I said, "Well, that's true. It's not even okay if the mother was super fit." But, you know, they just kept harping on the fact that the girl used to be a size 0 and now she's a size 10 or 12. And the mother was really just irritating. I wanted to slap her through the TV, to be honest. And this poor girl, she was beautiful and size 10, 12, I don't care what size she was so lovely and she deserved a really happy wedding gown shopping experience. And that just brought me back to when I was a kid and my mother never picked on me. I can give her credit that my sister never stopped picking on me. But what my mother did is she picked on herself. She would always, you know, we try to take a picture as a family and my mom would say, "Oh, I'm so ugly. Don't take my picture. I hate my face. I hate my this, my that. I'm horrible. Don't look at me." She would put on clothes. "I'm too fat. I'm so fat." My mom, I don't know. She maybe at some time had an extra 20 pounds on her, but she was never anyone someone would look at and say, "Oh, you're so fat." Even if she was, she shouldn't have been trashing on herself. It was just a really bad, she was a bad role model for me. And then of course, you know, between her bashing herself and my sister bashing me, quite quickly I turned into the teenage girl who was always saying, "Oh, I'm so fat," and "Do I look fat in this?" And all the ugliness. And I don't think guys do that as much. I mean, certainly some men are picking on themselves and it's heartbreaking. But if you're that person who picks on yourself, stop. It doesn't help and it's really negative for you, and then it's really annoying for everybody else. Nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to keep having to argue with you. "No, you're not fat. No, you're fine." It's just, it's a horrible thing to say, to pursue. So stop. Stop trashing yourself internally and externally. No one wants to hear it, and you shouldn't be doing it because it's just, it's bullying yourself. It's stupid, or trashing yourself. I don't know if bullying is the right word, but it's just dumb. So stop. And then the other thing is if you have people around you, keep your mouth shut about their weight. You know, if you're in a parental role and you see your kid having struggles with their weight, well, then it is your responsibility to provide some education on healthy living and to provide the healthy food and provide the opportunities for activity. But you shouldn't be telling your children of either gender as they shop, "Oh, you look fat in that. You're too fat to wear that." That's disgusting. That's abusive. And it's obnoxious. Do not do that. What you can say, and my children are perfectly fit kids. Nobody's perfect here. But, you know, especially with my little girl, because girls are kind of different, I'll say, "Ginger, that particular outfit is not flattering for you. It's just not flattering your body type. You have friends that are of different shape and maybe it looks great on them, but this particular style doesn't flatter you." And I think that's a totally fair thing to say because not every style looks great on everybody. But if I were to lean in and narrow down one part of her body and tell her that it was wrong, I would deserve to be put on that, you know, mother of the year list, right? So I saw that segment, that feature on the Say Yes to the Dress, and it really bothered me. It bothered my daughter. And then I think this mother has now exposed her nastiness on national television and it's documented for all the world to see forever. This poor girl, that's her wedding gown experience with her very, very tactless mother. So don't be that person. Be nice to your kids and your spouses and your friends and anyone you're dealing with. You know, if they're overweight, they know it. You don't have to point it out. If they have a waistline that's overly generous, they know it. You know, you don't have to point that stuff out. Very, very bothersome. And on the fashion topic, I was just at Disney Princess weekend, and I think the temperatures got into the mid-80s. And once again, I talked about this last year, but it pained me, absolutely pained me to see thousands and thousands of women wearing long black running pants when the temperature was in the 70s and 80s. And in fact, each race morning, I don't think there was a temperature below 70, which is great for a Floridian like me, not so great for a Northeastern person or a Californian. So why is everybody wearing these long black pants? Because they're trying to hide things they don't like, because they're worried about people looking at their legs and finding flaws. The girl I was standing with at the finish line, I was telling her how upset I was in this extreme heat at a half marathon, no less, for all these people to be wearing black pants. And she said, well, if, you know, something looks bad in shorts, it's going to look bad in long, stretchy pants. And I thought, well, that's probably true, too. So certainly not to turn that into a negative. But folks, nobody cares about your knees. Your legs are not what anyone is focused on while you're out exercising. They're thinking what a badass you are for exercising or for doing this race. So from here on out, unless you're in one of those blizzard towns, once it gets hot, once you're in the 70s, no more long pants. It's impractical and it's not functional for performance. So pants free running. We did the hashtag last year, pants free running. I stand by that. I love it. Many people tell me that they've never owned a pair of shorts in their life. So many women say, I never have because I've been embarrassed in my legs. Stop. Buy some shorts. I need you to wear shorts. Not only do I need you to wear them while exercising, I need you to buy some shorts to wear just around town during the summer. I need you to be able to walk into a grocery store with some shorts on and not think about your knees, because nobody on the planet is thinking about your knees. If you go to a theme park, if you go to a baseball game, you go to a football game and it's hot out, you should be dressed appropriately. Stop hiding things. If you're a modest person, you cover your nether regions, right? You maybe cover your belly button, you cover your boobs if you're a girl. And then that's it. That's what needs to be covered. We cover our torso down to our nether regions. Everything else is fair game in hot temperatures. So please be good to yourself. And I promise you, if you dress appropriately with not only your arms and legs uncovered in blistering temps, but maybe you get some moisture wicking or some shirts or shorts with proper ventilation, you're going to feel better. You're going to do more. You're going to get more out of your workout. So pants-free running. The other thing we're going to implement again this year is that tank top mandate. I best not be seeing you in long sleeves on a southern day. You got that? You put on a tank top and you wear it proudly. And again, nobody in the world is looking at your triceps or your biceps. If you want to tell me, oh, I can't show my arm flab, you're a lunatic. How many names have I called you during this podcast? Nobody's looking at your arms. Go back in time and think of how many times you've laser focused on somebody's arms and you didn't think they had great arms. Probably never. You've never done that because normal people don't do that. And if they did, who cares? So respect yourself, respect your body, respect your efforts to be more fit, and you have to dress properly. You wouldn't wear cowboy boots to run a race. You should not be wearing long pants on a hot day. There are rules, and I'm explaining them to you now if you didn't know them. So take off your pants, take off your long sleeves, and let your arms and legs fly free. Okay, moving on. I have some very exciting news for you. Some of you already know this because I've announced it publicly, but I have been re-invited to host the DC Wonder Woman Run series again this year. Woohoo! Very excited about it. The series is an absolute blast, and where we stayed in 5 communities within California in 2018, 2019. We have a huge schedule popping all around the country. Of course, we can't get to every town, But we're trying. And so there are 10 races already on the books this year. I think there's three which have yet to be revealed on the website. But the first two I cannot do because I'll be hosting the Los Angeles Marathon, Skechers Performance Los Angeles Marathon, and the Big Sur Marathon. So my friend Stephanie Davies is going to fill in for me, and she's going to do an absolutely wonderful job. So if you're a person who says, I'm only running because Fitz is there, you know, the Wonder Woman series is good enough that you'll have a blast whether I'm there or not, and Stephanie's going to be great. So she'll be hosting in Tempe and the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And then I will come in for Little Rock and Chicago and Fargo. I'm trying to remember all the places. Fargo, Seattle. I believe we've got Denver on our list. I don't know if that's revealed yet, but we have a bunch of really cool places we're coming, and it is just so much fun. So I really hope you'll join me. My discount code FITZNESS, it's FITZNESS, works for all of those races, including the ones I'm not hosting. So please register and go have yourself a hell of a good time dressed in some sort of Wonder Woman or superhero gear, because it is good stuff. And look on their site. It's dcwonderwomanrun.com, and you'll see all the locations that are revealed so far. And then coming up next for me, I will be hosting the Los Angeles Marathon with Rudy. And we had a discount code, but it expired January 31st. But they have not only the marathon, but they have the LA Big 5K the day before and the kids races, which is a blast. So if you're not prepared to run a marathon, great. Join us the day before at a 5K, and then you can show up and cheer for the marathoners, because it's a spectacular, humongous event where people run from Dodger Stadium all the way to the sea. It's stadium to the sea. We end on the Santa Monica Pier, and it's I love it. I'm very excited. Rudy's very excited. Next weekend, Rudy and I are back together in Encinitas, California for the Encinitas Half Marathon and the inaugural 5K. That race is a total beach party, absolute blast. We've changed the course, which the course used to start off by going up this hill within the first mile. Now that's been reversed. People have no more mean hill. They're going underneath that fancy Encinitas sign. And it's fun, fun, fun. People stick around and party for hours once they cross the finish line. So you can register for that one using Team Noisy as your discount code. I forget exactly what you save, but you're saving something. So give it a go. And then after that, I go to the Public Savannah Women's Half Marathon and 5K. Gorgeous race, charming town. You get to say hey, y'all, to everyone you see because you're in the South. And that has a beautiful finish line in Forsyth Park with this fantastic fountain at the end of the finish line chute. So highly recommend use discount code FITZNESS for that one. And then where do we go? I mean, golly, I have a big schedule. In fact, I'm not going to go on anymore with my schedule. But what I'd like you to do is on my Facebook page, my FITZNESS Facebook page, in the notes section is my race calendar. So look at one. I think it says fall 2018 and beyond. Run the races, Fitz announces, and you'll see my entire schedule there. But I would love to have you join me because it's fun. And even, you know, like I did in Savannah with Dave Thompson and Vanessa Medlock, when I saw them coming through, I ran into the finish line chute so I could escort them across the finish line. And I would do that with every runner, but I'm sure every runner doesn't want me on the shoot with them. So, but I do want to take care of you all, my people. And what I love are, you know, so many of you listeners that I haven't met. It means a lot to me when you introduce yourself at events. I was just at the Princess Weekend, and the very first time I hit Disney property, parked my car at the Expo Wide World of Sports, and I went to the back of my car to get something out of my trunk, and this woman, Nikki, you Fitz, and she listens to the show, and we'd never met before, but she was sweet as pie, and it meant just as much to me to meet her as it did for her to meet me. So you know, it's a lot of fun. I consider you all friends. I hope you know that. Handy, how come you haven't quacked yet? Hold on, we gotta have, well, here she goes. Quack a little more, please. You ready? Can you talk to my people? Say hello. She's flapping. Stop flapping. Can you say hi? Can you say hello? You're not gonna quack? Piper, come here. I want you to hear my duck quack. Can you quack for everybody? Mm-hmm. No, she's refusing to quack. Quack. Here. Oh, that was a wimpy quack. Try it again. Yeah, she's disappointing right now. Handy, you can do better. You will do better. Speaking of can and will do better, folks, I really want better for you. So Think about who you are. Think about what you're working towards, what you've accomplished, what you need to accomplish, and toughen up. Got it? When you're stressed, choose wisely. Choose an activity or a stress outlet that benefits you, not one that drags you down. You know, you can't blame a cold or an ankle or a boss or a cranky duck that won't quack on bad behavior. You know, I'm calling it bad. It's just it's behavior that's not benefiting you. It's one that's making you suffer long term. So choose a different stress outlet. Choose to be strong because I believe you are strong. Weak people do not listen to my show. I think there's been a scientific study done on this. And those who listen to the fitness show are 1,000% more likely to not buckle under pressure. They are likely to put on their big girl and big boy pants and do the right thing. And that's all I'm asking for you. It's just to do the right thing for you because you're the one who either pays the price or receives the perks of your actions. So on behalf of Handy and I, folks, I want you to follow me at Fitness on Instagram, on YouTube, on Facebook. Reach out, send me your feedback, send me your questions if you got them. It's always my honor to be able to help you through the stuff you're going through. Yes, thank you. That's right, Handy. All right, on behalf of Handy and I, we want to tell you to get to work. Bye, team.
Hi, this is Rudy Novotny, the voice of America's Marathons. We all love how much running has benefited every aspect of our lives, so much so that most of us only wish we'd started sooner. Wouldn't it be wonderful to give the opportunity to children of today? Well, you can. The Morning Mile is a before-school walking and running program that gives children a chance to start each day in an active way while enjoying fun, music, and friends. That's every child, every day. It's also supported by a wonderful system of rewards, which keeps students highly motivated and frequently congratulated. Created by our favorite fitness expert, Fitz Kohler, Morning Milers across the country have run over 2 million miles and are having greater success with academics, behavior, and sports because of it. The Morning Mile is free to the child, free to the school, and is inexpensively funded by businesses or generous individuals. Help more kids get moving in the morning by visiting morningmile.com. Champion the program at your favorite school or find out more about sponsorship opportunities. That's morningmile.com. Long may you run.